everyone. It's your friend Lo, and I'm super excited to have you join me today on our Disney journey at Lounging with Lo. I want to thank everyone for their amazing support and patience as I get my episodes together. Please don't forget that you can connect with me on social media platforms like X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. And hey, please feel free to share my podcast with your friends and family on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora Radio, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. Thank you so much for being awesome. In continuation of our Disney-themed discussions, we've explored the world of princesses and villains. Now, let's shift our attention to the courageous and admirable princes. Whether they were born into royalty, married into it, or just depicted as heroes in the movies, each prince has a significant role. If any of you are unfamiliar with these princes that I mentioned today in the podcast, I recommend that you take a break from this podcast, go watch the respected movies that these heroes or princes are a part of, and then you can come back because there will be spoilers. So we're going to talk about the ones that are born into royalty. This is what part one is going to be all about. The prince from Snow White is a compelling character. Now, although he was not given an official name, his name was to be rumored either to be Florian or Frederick. Now, in the film Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, he appears only twice. The first time we see him is at the well when meeting Snow White, and he serenades her because of her beauty. His charming and romantic nature while serenading her does fulfill the quintessential fairy tale dream that all of us girls dream of when we were little. Then, at the end of the movie, when he breaks the curse. Now, he exhibits the courage and determination in his quest to find her because of his love for her. And at only 18 years old, he possessed an amazing singing voice. The prince did. It was amazing. We had to thank Harry Stockwell for providing the character's voice in 1937, while Josh Dallas, who portrayed Prince Charming David Nolan in the Once Upon a Time series. Now, as I have mentioned in the beginning of the Disney series in the podcast, there will be an episode of Once Upon a Time, and it will be on its way soon, so just be patient with me. We're going to get that together here in a few months or so. Josh Dallas is actually married to Jennifer Goodwin, who plays Snow in the Once Upon a Time series. So they are actually married in real life. Now, interestingly enough, Harry starred in Oklahoma, which is one of the musicals he is best known for, on Broadway. And he has graced many other musical productions as a Broadway baritone. I think that's pretty cool, don't you think? Now let's chat about the prince from Cinderella. Again, another prince that does not have an official name, but again, during my research, there were rumors that he could have been Henri or Henry. Now he first appeared at the ball when he danced and sang with Cinderella, then he married her in the end. Now, he has appeared in two other Cinderella sequels, and we've seen his character develop. In the sequels, we see him showcasing his abilities in dancing and fencing. I think that's more in the third movie, as well as his growing love for Cinderella and his passion for reading books. In the 1950 film, Mike Douglas provided the singing voice, especially for the song So This Is Love, and William Phipps voiced the brief dialogue. And again, in the Once Upon a Time series, we had Tim Phillips portray Prince Thomas from the first curse, while in the fourth curse, Liam Hall portrayed Prince Charming. Now, you're talking about, You're talking about curses, first curse, fourth curse. Well, just hang in there with me. We're going to talk about that more when we go into the Once Upon a Time series, because there's just a lot going on there. And then we have Richard Madden, who portrayed Kit in the live-action remake of Cinderella. Now, here's some really cool things that I wanted to share with you that I've found about these actors. William Phipps, who was the prince who did the brief dialogue in the 1950 film, he served as a radio man in the Navy from 1942 to 1945. Now, after being discharged from the Navy, he used his GI Bill to enroll in the Actors Lab in Hollywood. While on the other hand, Mike Douglas, who was the singing voice, he began as a choir boy and turned professional in 1945. Then he joined the K. Kaiser Band, where he performed in concerts on the radio and on television. That's a pretty cool accomplishment for both of them. Now let's talk about Prince Philip.
Whoa.
A name? Yes, this is the first Disney leading man to have his name known. Now, I'm not sure if you guys know this, but Philip, in the Greek, means lover of horses. And that's very interesting because the horse that he rides, Samson, he loves very, very much. Now, he was named after the late Prince Philip, who was the husband of the late Queen Elizabeth II. Prince Philip's characteristics are described as bravery, pleasantness, and heroic. Now, when it came to defeating Maleficent, he used two different weapons. He used the Sword of Truth and the Shield of Virtue that were given to him by the three good fairies. We see him carry a dagger, but we don't really see him use it. We just know that he has it on his possession. But we first see Philip as a young boy meeting his betrothed. He's kind of like disgusted, like, really? That's my bride, really? But we see him again as an adult where he meets a woman in the woods, not knowing at all that the woman that he meets is Aurora. Now, he is then captured by Maleficent when she tries to capture Aurora to fill the curse. But wrong place, wrong time, he was there. But he finally breaks free and defeats Maleficent, as I mentioned earlier, and he decides to break the curse and marries Aurora. Many actors have played this role, including Bill Shirley in the animated film for both singing and dialogue, Julian Morris in Once Upon a Time, Brenton Thwaites in the origin story of Maleficent, and Harris Dickinson in the sequel of Maleficent, which I have not seen yet. Here's a cool, interesting fact, my mind was blown when I read this. I wanted to share this with you guys. The movie My Fair Lady, Rex Harrison and Audrey Hepburn, wonderful film. There is a character by the name of Freddie Eynsford Hill, and he's portrayed by Jeremy Britt. He admitted in an interview that Bill Shirley was the voice in the song On the Street Where You Live. What? That's not... My mind was blown. That means I'll never watch the film ever the same way ever again. It's so mind-blowing. But on a side note here, my dad grew up with a gentleman by the name of Bill Shirley. That was pretty interesting. Let's talk about Eric from The Little Mermaid. Now, he's a sailor who adores his dog Max and enjoys playing the flute. When he was shipwrecked during a storm while he was at sea, he fell in love with his dream girl and was determined to find her. Not realizing that she was a mermaid, when Ariel came onto the beach, he started to develop feelings for Ariel after spending a lot of time with her. Now we can see in the sequence Kiss the Girl, he's very shy around her. So, you know, after hanging out with Ariel and starting to develop some feelings for her, you know, the dream girl fantasy that he had started to fade away. But then later on he hears the voice again. But it's in the form of a spell by Ursula, who had taken Ariel's voice in exchange for becoming human. Now, luckily enough, Eric realized his love for Ariel, and he didn't want to lose her. He then goes to save Ariel and the kingdom from Ursula, and then in the end, he wins the girl and marries her. Christopher Daniel Barnes voiced this prince in 1989. Gil McKinney portrayed Eric in Once Upon a Time, and Jonah Howard King played him in the live-action remake in 2023. Here's a cool fun fact. Christopher Daniel Barnes shares a birthday with another Christopher. Can you tell me who that Christopher might be? Well, if you guessed Christopher Lloyd or Christopher Nolan, the director of the Batman trilogy, you are incorrect. I'll give you a little hint. He's a member of the Brady Bunch. Yes, that's right. It's Christopher Knight. Peter Brady. And did you also know that Christopher Daniel Barnes is the second youngest actor to play Peter Parker Spider-Man at the age of 22, while Tom Holland started playing the character at the age of 19. All right, so let's talk about the Beast, or his human name is Adam. Okay, so we have a lot to cover on the Beast, so I'm going to try and get this done as quickly as possible. So here, you're probably wondering, well, how did the Beast become the Beast? Well, it was on a cold night, an old beggar woman came to the castle and asked for shelter. In exchange, she offered a rose. The prince, who was Adam at the time, you know, he was very callous and mean, and he turned her away. After a short period of time, not realizing that the old beggar woman was a beautiful enchantress, she saw that the prince had a lack of love and kindness in his heart, so she decided to curse him and everyone that lived in the castle, and turned him into a beast and placed the spell on the entire castle. She gave him the rose, which would bloom until the 21st year of his life. If he didn't learn to love and earn love in return before that last petal fell, he would remain a beast forever. So time went by, and, you know, if you guys remember this story of Belle, you know, her father came to the castle seeking directions to get home, and the beast captures him and keeps him hostage. Or, you know, keeps him prisoner, I should say. So, Belle came to the castle and, you know, in exchange for her father's life. And during that time, he started to soften. His heart did. After, you know, Belle tended to his wounds because of her leaving and the wolves came to attack her, but he saved her. And they spent a lot of time together. You know, going outside, playing in the snow, and having dinner together, and then they decided to have a ball. So, you know, again, despite starting out as a prisoner, Belle and the Beast became close, very close. Well, at the night of the ball, he gives her that mirror that we talked about, that says you can see anything that you want to see, all you have to do is ask. So she saw that her father was very sick. So he was like, what do I do? What do I do in this situation? He decides to let her go. They're like, why'd you let her go? Because I love her. Oh. So the Beast released her to her dad. The mob comes in after Gaston decides to blackmail them and say, you know, the Beast is a terrible person. So she rushed back to the castle just in time, but it was almost too late. Beast was stabbed by Gaston, and he passed, and he died. But she got there in time to say, I love you, back to him, which broke the curse and turned him back into a human. Now, this act also freed all those in the castle who were under the enchantress spell as well. The Beast turned into Adam, and the rest of the story is awesome. So, let's talk about the Beast for a second. You know, they're thinking, well, he's got a lot of features. What's going on? Well, the Beast, or what we call Chimera, is a total mix of different animals. So, the Beast has a head and horns of a buffalo, the arms, claws, and body of a bear. He's got some gorilla-looking eyebrows. He's got a lion-like jaw and the mane, which is the hair. He's got wild boar tusks, and finally, the legs, teeth, and tail of a wolf. Okay, let's talk about the actress who brought the Beast character to life. Robbie Benson. Now, I'm sure you ladies of the 80s and have heard this heartthrob's name, especially my mother in her teenage years. He provided the voice and performed most of the songs in the film. And Once Upon a Time, there's a little twist here. Rumpelstiltskin is assuming the role of the Beast, and he is portrayed by Robert Carlyle, who is renowned for his portrayal of Renard, who was a James Bond villain in The World Is Not Enough. If you have not seen any of the James Bond films, I recommend you go see them. I have a podcast about anything that you need to know about the villains, the Bond girls, the actors that played them, and some of the movies. Go listen to it. It's in the first season. Dan Payne takes on the character of in the Descendants film, and Dan Stevens, who is recognized for his role as Matthew Crawley in Downton Abbey, also embodies the character as well. Did you guys also know that Robbie Benson co-wrote the song We Are Not Alone from the movie The Breakfast Club with his wife and partner of 40 years, Carla DeVito? I love learning these interesting facts and sharing with you, don't you? Let's talk about Prince Naveen. He's from the film Princess and the Frog. Now, he's this muscular, average-sized guy with wavy dark hair and captivating amber eyes that just makes all the girls swoon. But here's the thing. Naveen is not your typical prince. He's just not interested in settling down or doing any kind of work. He just wants things given to him. Well, this kind of leads his parents to cut him off from the family fortune. So, in order to get back into their good graces, he had to find himself what we call a Southern Belle, because they were visiting New Orleans at the time, so that he can be able to marry her, so that he can get the family fortune back. Now, in the film, he is strolling the streets of New Orleans in what we call civilian clothes. You know, he's strumming with his ukulele, he's grooving to the jazz music, and he's charming all the ladies with his wonderful good looks. Well, then he crosses paths with Dr. Facilier, who is a voodoo doctor. And, you know, he tells him, I want to be rich. I want all this green. Well, yeah, you turn green, okay. Well, Dr. Facilier tricks him and turns into a frog. Well, this is where he meets Tiana, who Naveen thinks is a princess who can break the curse. But unfortunately, as you remember from the Tiana, that didn't turn out so well. So they both end up staying, you know, being stuck as frogs. They're trying to lift the curse. But as they work together, Naveen falls head over heels for Tiana and learns to shake off his lazy habits and embrace hard work. When they eventually break the curse, he marries her and helps her make her dream of owning a restaurant come true. Now, Naveen is portrayed by Bruno Campos in the animated film and by Jeff Pierre in Once Upon a Time. Now, Bruno attended the Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan at the age of 17, and he later graduated from Northwestern University in 1995 with a bachelor's degree in drama. Now, interestingly enough, in the year 2013, he decided to go into law school. He passed the bar exam, and he worked in different law firms. That's a pretty interesting career move. I think he still does a little bit more films here and there, in between court cases, I'm sure. Now, Jeff Pierre, he hails from the country Haiti, and he survived the 2010 earthquake. That's an amazing story just right there. But Jeff is also skilled in playing traditional Haitian percussion instruments, having majored in instrumental music at San Francisco School of the Arts. Now, let's talk about Simba from The Lion King. Now, I'm sure everyone who grew up with The Lion King kind of knows the story, but here's a little bit of a refresher. So Simba has faced a lot of adversity during his upbringing, but ultimately triumphed over his challenges into assuming his rightful place as the ruler of Pride Rock. Now, let's talk about him as a young cub. Now, as a young cub, he exhibited traits of adventurism, impressionability, and curiosity. Because of that, you know, his father, Mufasa, who was the rightful king of Pride Rock, you know, kind of tried to rein him in a little bit and help him to learn his ways of being a king, or what it means to be a king, and helping him teach the circle of life. Simba's desire for independence led him to venture into the elephant graveyard, thanks to Scar, defying his father's warning, because anything that the light doesn't touch, you don't go there. Now, you know, because of this, it brings a tragic situation where Mufasa lost his life when he's just trying to save Simba, and that's all thanks to Scar. Simba blamed himself for his father's demise. Now, he was coerced by his uncle Scar to leave and never return. Simba then encountered Timon and Pumbaa, who introduced him to the carefree philosophy of Hakuna Matata. Now, Hakuna Matata means no worries. We'll talk about the song here in the future podcast episodes for Disney. Now, as Simba grew up as an adult, he was guided by Rafiki, who is a wise mandrill. They all think he's a baboon, He's not really a baboon. He's a mandrill. He was guided by him because he needed to confront his past and assume his responsibilities as the ruler of the Pride Lands. Now, ultimately, Simba uncovered the truth about his father's death, and he confronted Scar, and ultimately prevailed over his uncle. So three talented actors bring the character Simba to life. Jonathan Taylor Thomas as the young cub. I'm sure all of us 90s girls have heard that name before. Matthew Broderick as the adult Simba in the animated film. These two work together. And Donald Glover in the live-action remake of the film. So here's some cool things I wanted to share with you guys about these actors. Jonathan is the first actor to win the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Nickelodeon's Kids Choice Award in 1999 for his role as Randy Taylor in the TV series Home Improvement. Matthew has two Tony Awards, one in 1983 for Best Actor in the play Brighton Beach Memoirs, and the other in 1995 for Best Actor in the musical How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. He was also nominated for Best Actor in 2001 for The Producers. Donald is the second African-American performer to win an Emmy for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series in 2017, and it was for the TV series 30 Rock. And it was following Robert Guillermo, who won his Emmy in the 1985 TV show Benson. Now, Robert is actually the voice of Rafiki, but we'll talk about Rafiki later on. Let's talk about Emperor Kuzco from The Emperor's New Groove. Kuzco is a remarkably self-absorbed, conceited, and sarcastic ruler of an unnamed Incan empire. He possesses a persuasive and manipulative demeanor, often using these traits to get what he wants. His grand plan is to construct Kuzcotopia. Oh yeah. Oh. You guys don't know what Kuzcotopia is? It's a birthday retreat for him. It's a birthday gift for himself. He calls the village leader in, and he notices that he wants that particular hill because he has about the most sun. And it forces him to wanting to get him and his family out so he can be able to have that place. Now, unfortunately, a peculiar incident leads to him transforming into a... You guys remember? Yes, that's right. A llama, thanks to Yzma. During this journey back to the palace, Kuzco undergoes a transformation experience, learning the significance of considering the needs of others. He forges a meaningful friendship with Pacha, again who was the village leader, and the man who would lose his home to Kuzcotopia, and gains the admiration and camaraderie of the entire kingdom upon reverting to his human form and thwarting Yzma. Hey guys, did you know that David Spade voices Kuzco in The Emperor's New Groove? Oh, and guess what? Here's some really cool facts I just found out. He's the brother-in-law of the famous fashion designer, Kate Spade. Yeah. She was married to his brother. Oh, and get this. David Spade was super close to the late Chris Farley because they collaborated on the film Tommy Boy and have worked together on Saturday Night Live in their skits. Oh, he was great. Okay, guys, so that's a lot about the princes that were born into royalty. The next part we're going to talk about is the ones that were married into it or has those depictions of what a prince or hero can be. So don't miss out on that. I want to thank you guys so much for joining me. Let's lounge together. Bye, guys.